Hey, I've got some exciting news for you. For nearly a decade, the Social Media Marketing Society has been helping marketers like you to keep up with the changing times. This is our private community just for marketers, and the doors are open right now. When you join, you get access to ongoing training and become part of a welcoming community of marketers who are just like you. Learn more at smmarketingsociety.com. Again, smmarketingsociety.com.
Welcome to the Social Media Marketing Podcast, helping you navigate the social media jungle. And now, here's your host, Michael Stelzner.
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you so much for joining me for the Social Media Marketing Podcast, brought to you by socialmediaexaminer.com. I'm your host, Michael Stelzner, and this is the podcast for marketers and business owners who want to know what works with social media. I am super excited about today's show. I'll be joined by John Loomer, who is the foremost expert on Facebook advertising, and we're going to explore advanced Facebook ad techniques. But first, I have a really cool discovery for you.
Helping you stay alive in a social jungle, here's this week's survival tip.
So in this episode, I'm joined by Eric Fisher, and he's got a cool new app that he wants to share with you. Eric, what'd you find?
I found Workflow. It's an iOS app. It's universal. It's iPad and iPhone. And this thing is so power-packed. There's so many different things in here. So let me see if I can explain this.
Yeah, let's start by talking about what does it do at a high level?
Okay, at a high level, it automates on your phone.
So what kind of automation are we talking about?
So it can do different things, like it will pull a piece of information from one app, send it to another app, and then send that to another app. Like it is cross-app manipulation of content, text, audio, video. So for example, the first thing it shows you how to do when you first open it up is, here's a sample workflow. And it says, drag this here. And what it is it's take three photos. And so then it says, now drag this here. And the next step in it is to tweet that out. And what it does is it takes three photos manually and then converts it into a GIF and then brings up a place where it tweets it and you can type in some text and hit send.
Okay, hold on a second. So what I hear you saying is in this particular workflow situation, it creates an animated GIF. So like if you just basically push a button in this workflow and hold your camera up, and let's just say you're at a speedway or something like that and a bunch of cars come by, it's going to go take the picture, sew it all together, animate it as a GIF, and then tweet it out on Twitter, and then you just have to go ahead and fill out the tweet?
That's exactly it.
Wow. What are some other things?
And here's the thing. Once you've created that workflow, you've got it saved for forever. Mm. So you don't have to set these up once or twice with different variations, and you can even save them to your home screen as individual apps. You know how you do that with like web pages?
Right.
So you can do that with this.
Okay. So the key to this whole thing is you have to set up a series of workflows. So, I mean, while that sounds really cool, I'm not sure I would ever use that. What are some of the workflows that you've experimented with this, right?
So I've been experimenting. I've been looking up to see what it can do. What are some of the best practices or you know, there's huge variations on workflows you can do here. One that you could do is you can either take a bunch of photos or upload a bunch of photos to Dropbox, grab the URL, and then either tweet that out or text it or post it to Facebook. Like, to be able to do that, those 3, 4, 5 steps, all with the push of one button instead of, you know, 5 minutes time.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So I would imagine if you recorded a little video and you wanted to Dropbox it to somebody, you could just create, and you do that a lot, you could just create a little workflow, push a button, and it's going to happen in the background. Is that what I hear you saying?
Yeah. And another one, this one's really social media tied in. It's called CrossPost, and you can set it up to where you hit the button, it takes the photo or does, you know, takes your written text, and then we'll send it out to all the different social networks that you've plugged in to that workflow.
Interesting. So kind of like what people do with Instagram, right? But it,
right.
But Instagram only works with certain networks. And with this one, you can link everything together and just boom, have it done in one shot kind of thing.
Yeah.
Very cool. And what does this app cost?
Its workflow is it costs $2.99 right now. It's brand new. It's about a week old. I don't know what it's going to go up to eventually, probably more like $4.99.
Gotcha.
But if you want it, grab it now.
So is it smart enough to know all the apps that you have on your phone and whether they work? I mean, literally, is it like the world is your oyster? Whatever you can figure out how to do with these different apps, you can figure it out?
Yeah, you can open it up and you can search through your installed apps to see what kind of actions it's already able to do with those. Mm. And just by browsing through there, you start to get ideas of, oh, you know, that's always been a pain when I'm trying to think of an instance, want to send, you know, my wife a text of a photo with an emoji and something else and my location of where I am from my phone. Mm. But with a push of a button, you could create a workflow and do that every time.
Okay, folks, you heard it here. The app is called Workflow. Is that right, Eric?
Yes.
Workflow, and it sounds like it's one of those kind of things that's just kind of a blank palette. So, you know, if you end up experimenting with Workflow, we would love to hear from you. And, you know, you can leave us a comment in the show notes. We'll tell you how to do that a little bit later. But we'd love to hear, how are you using this app to go ahead and execute all sorts of different activities? Now, it sounds like right now it's only a Mac iOS app, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, Eric. Well, listen, thank you so much for sharing that with us today.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Earlier in today's show, I mentioned the Social Media Marketing Society. When you join this exclusive community, you get access to marketing training covering everything from artificial intelligence all the way to YouTube. You see what I did? A to Y, all the way across the spectrum. Every month, we add fresh new training workshops on the latest marketing strategies. Join more than 1,000 marketers who are thriving because of the society. Here's what a fellow marketer had to say. Quote, I've been so impressed with the content of the society. It's the deep dive I was wanting. Really glad I joined, unquote, said Dina Childs. Join today by visiting smmarketingsociety.com. Again, smmarketingsociety.com.
And with this, let's transition over to today's interview with John Loomer.
Helping you simplify your social safari, here's this week's expert guide.
I'm very excited to be joined today by John Loomer. If you don't know who John is, he's a Facebook marketing expert who specializes in Facebook advertising. His blog, johnloomer.com, and it's J-O-N-L-O-O-M-E-R, was the top pick in our 2014 Top 10 Social Media Blog Contest. And John is really the leading expert in the world on Facebook advertising. John, welcome to the show.
Wow. Yeah, thank you so much, Mike. Just absolute pleasure to be here.
So, John, we've got a lot to talk about. And this is your second time on the show, so we're going to skip the normal, like, how'd you get into Facebook advertising story and just kind of dig into some of this stuff here. Facebook recently announced some new tools that they've come out with that allows people that publish, like bloggers like us, to do some stuff. Can you kind of explain a little bit about what they've announced and what it all is? And maybe we can dig in a little bit here.
Yeah, there have been all kinds of announcements lately, but there was one in particular that happened recently where there were four new features that were aimed directly at publishers. And what's funny is normally when we've gotten announcements lately, it's telling us something we shouldn't do and we'll be penalized for, or here's this new ad option or something like that. But this is really entirely organic. So one of those things is the ability now to target your organic posts by interests.
Yeah, let's explain what that means exactly. Because, I mean, first of all, just for everybody who doesn't understand, differentiate what an organic post is, and then let's go from there.
Yeah, so an organic post, I'm just separating what is free from what is paid. So when you go to your page and you share something, share a link, share a photo, whatever, with your fans, goes into the news feed, and that's free, that's organic. If you want to promote that, if you want to create an ad completely separately, you know, that's an ad. Okay, but up until now, the organic stuff, the stuff that's for free that's done through your page, you basically just share it with your fans. I mean, you could say, I only want to hit my fans who live in certain countries.
Or speak male, certain female. Languages, right? Or was that more
right.
countries? Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, you could do that too. I believe even male, female, and ages and stuff like that. But that's pretty much the limit. So now the interest is just kind of funny because interest is really something we're used to seeing as an advertiser. So if you're looking for someone to promote an ad to get more likes or get sales or drive traffic or whatever, one of the things you might do is target people by interest, which would be, which is funny because one of the interests I will target is Social Media Examiner. So it's anyone who has basically interacted with Social Media Examiner, the page. So that means they like the page or they interact with your content. And so that might, because I've actually done some studies and that is just top of the list in terms of my fans, many of those people like Social Media Examiner and interact with. So that's the type of person I want to engage with. So when I create ads by interest, which I'll create ads targeting in many different ways, but when it's by interest, that's one of the interests I'll target. Now there is the option of, let's say you've created this great organic piece of content. You want to zero in on the people most likely to engage with it of your fans. So you could say, okay, of my fans, I only want those who have an interest in Social Media Examiner to see this. So basically, they are people who like John Loomer Digital and have an interest in Social Media Examiner. And then those would be the only people who see it.
Well, interesting. So is it the same level of interest targeting that you can do with the advertisements now available on organic? Is that what I hear you saying?
It is, but obviously you're limited in that it's only going to be shown to fans who have these interests.
So it's a subsegment of your fans is what you're
correct.
Saying.
Correct. Yeah, and I could do that with an ad, right? I could target only my fans who have an interest in social, but I normally wouldn't be doing that with an ad. So in this case, the reason you might limit it, which I know a lot of people are like, why would I do that? I already only reach X percentage of my fans. Why would I reach even fewer?
Right.
The reason you might want to is that the whole algorithm for Facebook and their filtering is they're going to show stuff to people most likely to engage. And based on that early engagement, they will show it to more people. Okay. So if you're showing it to the right audience, people who have a high likelihood of engaging, they're more likely to show it to more people. That's the theory. So I thought this is pretty interesting in that. So I could, for example, we all have fans who are casual fans, fans who are friends and family, who really probably don't care about our stuff. And all those people kind of water down our results. Like it may show up in their news feed, it may not, because they haven't shown any interest in our stuff before. And when they don't show interest in the content, it gives Facebook a cue that you're boring. And as a result, they may show it less. But if I only show it to people likely to engage, the theory is, they may show it to more people and you actually may get better engagement as a result.
Mm.
So it's something I've been testing out, but it's gotten interesting results so far.
Well, what other kinds of interests can you target with the exception of fans of other pages? Like
so these are...
Help me open up kind of the world of interest and what that really, you know, encompasses.
Yeah, so there are things that used to be called precise interests. They just call them interests now. So yes, you could target based on specific pages, not all pages. But I always do Social Media Examiner, Mari Smith, Amy Porterfield, Facebook for Business, for example. Or you could do something that's lumped into a category. So there's some specific categories that Facebook gives you that you can choose from. So for me, again, you know, it depends on what your niche is. But it could be social media marketing, Facebook advertising, you know, things like that that aren't related to a specific brand. But basically, Facebook is saying, okay, you have interacted with Social Media Examiner, John Loomer Digital, and these other pages. So you have an interest in social media marketing. So that would all fall under that one category, for example.
Can you go even more granular? For example, let's say we publish articles on LinkedIn and on Facebook and on Twitter. Can we actually say a subsegment of our fans that are interested in LinkedIn target this particular post just to them?
Yes, you could.
Interesting. Now, I mean, a lot of different things are going through my mind right now, and I find it really cool. Now, one of the things Facebook said is this is for publishers. What does that really mean? Because does this mean these features and functions are not available to all businesses who have Facebook pages, only those that publish blog content? Or do they really just mean any Facebook page now has this capability?
Well, there are actually four main features that were rolled out, and that's just one of them. And really, I believe that's rolled out to everybody. A couple of others that would, I guess, be related more to publishers. First is smart publishing. This is something that's been rolled out to a very small number of like big media companies, basically. I don't have it. I wish I did. But basically, Facebook looks at the links that people are sharing on Facebook that are most popular. And if you turn this feature on, then it will automatically share these links with your fans. So it's not so much your regular organic posting where you're putting your comments and stuff with it. If they are seeing that certain links are being shared a lot to Facebook, they'll automatically publish those to your fans. So it won't go to your page, but it'll go to their news feeds.
Is this what we see when someone shares a story and then it says other stories that are similar to this? Do you understand what I'm talking about in the news feed where maybe someone will share a video and then underneath will be some Facebook recommended videos that seem to be related to the one that somebody else shared?
No, this would appear just like any other share to Facebook. So it'll say Social Media Examiner shared this link. There won't be any description comment from you above it. Of course, it'll just be the link with the thumbnail and description and title, and it'll just go straight to there. So there's some auto publishing happening there based on user engagement with that particular story that's doing really well.
Wow, I hear what you're saying. So basically, if I'm a publication X and one of my stories gets shared like crazy, Facebook will start recommending it to other people, whether they're fans of mine or not. Is that what I hear you saying?
Well, be clear. This has nothing to do with what you have shared already to Facebook.
No, but I'm talking about like the aggregation of the fans, you know, of Time Magazine seem to be sharing this one article. So Facebook will kind of classify it as valuable and show it to other people. Is that kind of what I hear you saying?
Right. But your fans. So, for example, Social Media Examiner Facebook page is connected to socialmediaexaminer.com. So you've had probably two blog posts published today. And even if you haven't shared those yet, if Facebook is picking up that people are sharing it like crazy on Facebook, it could automatically be published to your fan.
Ah, gotcha. Cool.
So that's one of the options. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, keep going. I mean, is there anything else that's worth mentioning on the new announcements front with Facebook?
Yeah. So another one that was interesting was a post end date. We don't have to talk a whole lot about that, but basically something that if there's something that you're sharing with your fans, it's going to expire. You can put a post end date so it just kind of disappears into thin air on a certain date, which can be helpful.
Really interesting. Like, for example, you have a webinar and it starts Tuesday at 10 o'clock.
Right.
You boom, just make it literally go away, huh?
Interesting. Right, right. So no longer appear in news feeds or on your page. And then the final one, which is more for publishers again, is an improvements to domain insights. So this is a form of insights most people don't use. If you have your own website, you should. So if you go to facebook.com/insights, this is different from your page insights. These are the insights associated with your website, assuming that you have connected your website to Facebook, which most serious publishers have done. But the improvements are you'll get an overview of the most popular articles. Basically, the people have clicked on links from Facebook to your page or to your website, sorry. Or shared specific articles from your website. Facebook have record of all those that are most popular during the last 7 days, 30 days, whatever. But in addition to that, now they'll have an overview. Okay, this post, for example, got a ton of clicks from Facebook. And if you click to expand, it'll show you the top pages that shared it and how many clicks were generated from those pages.
Wow, that's really cool. Now, we should probably pause here for a second and let everybody know that it's not everybody in your company that can see that. You have to set up administrators, right? Don't you in your Open Graph code, if I'm not mistaken, right? Like, yeah. I think that I use a series of different plugins on our WordPress-driven site, and it asks me for the admin IDs. I'm going off memory here. Does that seem about right? And those are the people that can see the insights when you go to facebook.com/insights.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I've set that up, but I had to claim my site when I set it up And yeah, that is not publicly available information.
And you know what? I mean, this is really interesting because it's almost like Google Analytics meets Facebook, right? It's it's unique insight that I think so many of us forget to look at. And I literally wrote that down because I'm like, oh, you know, we've got a social team over here and we're not even looking at that.
Yeah.
We're just looking at our Facebook insights and our Google Analytics and we don't really get that insight from either. And I think that's really intriguing. What's your take on dark data? This is something I know I didn't plan on asking you, but Facebook Analytics, Facebook Analytics provides you, you know, you can set, you can use what's called UTM codes. Are you familiar with this at all in Google Analytics?
Yeah. Yes.
But, and that's how you can track the organic activity that's coming from your Facebook posts. But I've been told that Google Analytics, is underreporting the traffic coming from Facebook because it seems to be classified under direct. And I've heard people in the industry call it Facebook dark traffic or whatever. I don't know if I'm even saying it right. But have you heard about this at all? And how are you tracking this? Go ahead.
Yeah. So first of all, I've been using UTM tags a lot more over the last few months for some of my testing because I want to get, like, for example, with these or with this organic interest targeting and whatnot, I want to get a better sense of when I target certain interests, how what they do on my site. So not only do they click the link, but do they stay on my site for very long? Do they end up converting on things, whatever? So I've been targeting by interest and using a specific UTM parameter for that. So first of all, I do use it. Second of all, I've heard whispers that Google is in no rush to make Facebook traffic look good. So I don't know what that means, but anyway, but some things to consider though with the UTM stuff. And yes, I use it a lot to really, like I said, to dig in a little bit more beyond what Facebook tells you. It's like, they'll tell you whether you got the clicks and even if you got a conversion, but we won't know things like how long they were on your site, which can be really helpful. The issue though with the UTM tags is that let's say you have a post, you put a UTM tag on it, share it to Facebook, somebody views it, loves it, clicks on the link, and you get some great data out of that. But they then share it to Twitter. Someone views that on Twitter, they click that link. That's that same UTM tagged link now that's been shared from Facebook. They click on that. So some of that traffic is going to come from other places. But you could still kind of say, well, that Facebook post, though, was the source of all of that traffic, even if they ended up, someone ended up seeing it on Twitter or somewhere else.
Yeah, and just to give people a little bit of background, or like, what the heck are you guys talking about? Because I'm sure somebody listening to this is like rolling their eyes right now. If you Google Google Analytics UTM, you will see that you can generate a special URL for your website, like your blogpost.com with a question mark and a bunch of code. And in there you can put like the source and the campaign and a couple other things. And it will allow you within Google Analytics to look at deeper stuff. And what we were trying to figure out on our site is what percentage of our traffic comes from our Facebook page versus organic sharing. And the funny thing is we ended up getting more traffic from the UTM than what Google Analytics even said all of Facebook was providing. So then we did a little more research. And we came to the conclusion, along with a lot of other people in the industry, that Facebook is not tracking everything. I mean, Google Analytics is not tracking everything. For example, when you're on your mobile app and you pull up a website page, it doesn't actually send you to the website. It pulls up that page still while you're in the app. And the theory out there is not all that traffic is being accurately tracked by Google as sourcing from Facebook. And it gets lumped under this category called direct. And that's what a lot of people are postulating is the issue right now, because you're right. When you share that link, someone might end up encoding that link in Twitter and sharing it out elsewhere. And it does create a little bit of an issue. Yep. But I'm of the thinking, and a lot of my peers are, that what you see from Google Analytics for the traffic from Facebook is actually less than what Facebook is actually delivering. And I believe a lot of it has to do with these mobile apps, you know, not actually sending you off of Facebook, but keeping you within Facebook.
And, absolutely.
And unlike Twitter, which wraps all your tweets in a special URL so that it's obviously trackable from Twitter, Facebook doesn't do that. And that's part of the challenge. Now,
Sorry to interrupt. The bottom line there is that the metrics, you can't get too bent out of shape on this. The metrics you see from Facebook are never going to be exactly what you see on Google. There are lots of reasons for that. Some of it's just because they measure things differently. But you just kind of have to decide what you want to accept as fact and yep. what, you know, what do you want to, you know, what makes the most sense. And so, but yeah, that's one of those struggles you have to deal with constantly. I can actually talk about how I used UTM as relevant to our earlier discussion if you want.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so we were talking earlier about the interest targeting of organic posts. So the way I'm testing that right now is I'm running a campaign. So this is now paid, but I want to see the impact of each of these interests. Okay, so I'm promoting a post. And I have one ad set for each interest. So basically one ad set, one ad. So I'm creating one ad that's targeting people who are my fans, who it's not split up by interest. It could be any fan. I have another one that's targeting fans who have interest in Social Media Examiner, another fan who has interest in Facebook for Business, then Mari Smith and Amy Porterfield. So there are five different ad sets, five different ads. They each have a UTM tag on them, with the campaign tag being, I think it's like interest, none, interest, SME, interest, Mari Smith, et cetera. So that way, first of all, I have the Facebook metrics that Facebook's giving in terms of what's my cost per click and how many people are clicking and how many conversions resulted and all that. But then I also have the Google Analytics metrics where I can go into campaigns and see all those campaigns I just created that I just mentioned. And I'm actually seeing that the time on site, for example, is much better when I don't even do any interest breakdown at all, just my fans. So that's a sign that potentially I shouldn't target by interest to my fans for organic posts.
Well, you know, this is a perfect transition to my next question because I want to talk about Facebook conversion tracking. For anyone mm-hmm. who is advertising on Facebook, including us, Facebook tells you whether or not a conversion has happened. And obviously, in our case, a conversion would be purchasing a ticket, for example, John, to Social Media Marketing World. Yep. And we can actually track if that conversion is happening or not. Now, the challenge that I'm up against is the way that Facebook tracks conversions. I want to get your clarity on this because a lot of us use Google AdWords. Mm-hmm. And in Google AdWords, they track two different kinds of conversions. They track regular true conversions, meaning the actual purchase was made as a result of clicking on the ad. And they also track what they call view through conversions, which means that a conversion happened with person X, but they never clicked on the ad. They just saw the ad. So the challenge that I've been running up against in my team is we also use our shopping cart has ad tracking technology in it. And we know it's very reliable because it's actually, you know, basically tracking whether that activity led to a conversion. So where we struggle, John, is how is Facebook tracking conversions? Because sometimes Facebook will say, you've got a conversion, but we're actually not getting a sale trackable to Facebook. So long question, but are they tracking regular conversions and view-through conversions as the same thing? What's your experience?
Good question. Yes. Yes. So by default, Facebook records a conversion when somebody has clicked your ad and ended up converting within 28 days or viewed your ad without clicking and converted within 1 day. So most people don't realize that.
That's the part right
yeah,
there.
Most people,
yeah, go ahead.
Exactly. Most people don't realize that. And first of all, they'll be confused. They'll be angry that that's the way it's reported. I actually think it makes some sense. But you could also break that down within your reporting. If you use your custom reports, you can adjust that window. And you have options of view. You can get rid of view through if you don't like view through. You can do view through 1 day, 7 days, or 28 days. And you can do click to conversion 1 day, 7 days, 28 days. So when you have that conversion pixel on your site, Facebook knows two things. They know if someone viewed your ad. They know three things. They know someone has clicked your ad, and they know if they ever fired that conversion pixel. So they combine those things to determine whether or not your ad resulted in a conversion.
Okay, so this is the part that's mysterious. Is it's not obvious to me how to differentiate between a view through and a click conversion. You're saying there is some sort of ability to see that in some sort of advanced reporting inside of Facebook?
Right. If you go into your ads manager on the left-hand side, click on reports. That those are your custom reports. They're awesome. Nobody uses them. When you're in there, click on the customize columns button. And at the bottom right-hand corner of that window that pops up, you have attribution window. You can change the attribution window. So it'll show you that by default, it's 1 day view through and 28-day click, but you can change it. You can actually include any of those six options, 1, 7, 28 for view through and click, so it'll create a column for all six things. So you get a better sense of when your conversions are actually happening. Now, the truth is about this is that vast majority of them, like a lot of people are upset about that, but vast majority are actually going to be people who clicked and people who converted within a day. Now, the exception being, are you targeting the right way, really? And when you target the right way, when you're targeting people who are going to see more of your content, they're on your email list, they visit your website, they're already your fans, they're going to be getting lots of messaging from you. So that's when you're more likely to see not only the view-through conversions as well, but a click-through conversion that doesn't actually happen until 7 days or more.
We're about to talk about using paid ads to promote your organic posts and also Facebook clamping down on organic promotional posts. But before we do, I just want to mention that this podcast is sponsored by Social Media Marketing World 2015. John, you've been to the conference. I know I didn't prep you for this, but what was your experience?
Dude, it is absolutely amazing. So I'm really very selective about the traveling I do. I don't do much. And when I went 2 years ago, I was just amazed then. But that was just as a visitor. Just everybody, I don't want to say everybody who's anybody. It's not fair to people who don't show up. But so many of the people who I look up to are there and speaking. And it's just such an awesome event. So when I was asked to speak last year or this beginning of this year, depending on when someone listens to this, it was such an honor. But these are my people. Like if I were to go to Content Marketing World, I love Content Marketing World, but all these others, like this is something very special about Social Media Marketing World. Like these are the social media marketers, period. And if there's one event you want to go to, it's this one.
Thank you, John.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's talk about using paid ads to promote your post for your blog. Now, I know you've been doing this for a while, and it's somewhat of a lot of people are like, why in the world would I ever do that? So help us fellow bloggers understand why we might want to invest a little bit of money in promoting our links back to our blog posts.
Man, where to start with this? So first of all, it's an understanding that there's nothing more important other than the eventual dollar than traffic to your website. So a big reason for that is it makes all the things you do on Facebook more effective, but it all comes down to a funnel, okay? So the more traffic you get, first of all, the better targeting is available to you. So something called website custom audiences, where you can remarket to people who have visited your website before. So one of your goals should be to drive as much traffic as possible there, so then you can remarket to them later. And when you remarket to them, you drive them to register for some sort of opt-in, and you're also trying to get them to buy. So I focus on those people to buy things as opposed to focusing on interests and lookalikes and things like that. So it's all about driving people through this funnel. So traffic, very, very important. So when I publish a new blog post, I share it to Facebook. It also goes out to my email list. So that's a large number of people who are already going to see it, who are important people to me. However, we know, you can point at Facebook all you want regarding the algorithm, all that stuff, but you could take away the algorithm, large percentage of them aren't going to see it. They weren't online at the time you posted or whatever. So after posting it organically, I turn it to an ad. And when I turn it into an ad.
Now, hold on 1 second. How long after the organic post do you convert to an ad?
You know, I'm not going to say this is the right way, because honestly, I've heard studies that this does not matter. You could probably do it immediately. I have this weird routine I get into. I publish at, first of all, organically at 2:15 in the morning my time. There's a whole science behind why I do that. We don't necessarily have to go into that now, but So then I let it go for like 6 hours, and my ad starts at 8 or 8:15.
Okay, good.
So there's really no reason. I don't.
Yeah, you've run it for about 6 hours. You're giving it a little bit of a boost organically, yeah. and then what do you do next?
So then I've scheduled a campaign that promotes it, and there are normally two groups of people it goes to. So two different ad sets, one that's targeting my fans, one that's targeting my website visitors. So again, website visitors, we need that group of people. And
okay. So hold on. So you got a remarketing campaign, basically from people that have been to your site before, and you're trying to bring them back.
Yes, because who's most likely to want to read this blog post? It's people who are my fans, but it's also people who have visited my website recently within the last 30 days, but aren't fans. There are a lot of those people who aren't my fans, but
right now people are going, they're going, duh, like the clouds are separating for people right now. Okay, so yeah. How much money are you investing in promoting these things, what's the rule of thumb for those of us? We know everybody's got different size audiences and stuff.
Yeah, and first of all, I wouldn't say that you need to set this budget for your own. But what I do is I do $10 per day per ad set. So in this case, I got two different ad sets as $20 a day with the only goal of driving website traffic. Now, keep in mind, I've got 250,000 people who have visited my website over the last 30 days that I can target with a website customer.
That's a good size list, really.
It is. And so I could spend a lot more than that if I wanted to. And I've also got 75,000 fans that I could target as well. It's just decent. Now, if you don't have audiences that size, there's still some wiggle room there. Again, I could spend way more than that, I think. But my rule of thumb, just in general, when it comes to budgeting and audience sizes, to look at it like this. First of all, if you have an audience size, a potential audience to reach of 100,000 people, and you have optimized, which is what I'm going to do in this case, for a website click or some sort of action, Facebook, to optimize it, is going to show it to the top 5 to 10% of those people. They're not going to show it to everybody. You don't want them to show it to everybody because you want to optimize for that action. So if we're going to say 10,000 of those people you could potentially reach when you promote it, we do a little bit of math. On average, I see a CPM, so cost per 1,000 impressions, of about $5. So if you look at it like that, it's $5 per 1,000 people-ish. Then you look at 10,000 people reached, that's $50 with a 100,000 people potential audience you can spend per day. I know that's a lot of numbers and talking, but if you have a 100,000 potential audience, $50 per day really max what you should be spending.
Okay, so in your case, I know you track these things. So what is your feeling about those first 6 hours, the number of clicks you get, and then what kind of clicks do you get for the extra $10 that you spend?
Oh, yeah, good question. So the organic stuff, first of all, there's a reason why I publish at 2:15 in the morning. It's because, I mean, first of all, I've seen it works, but I have my theory in terms of why it works.
And that's Eastern Standard Time in your case,
that's,
right?
That's my time, which is Mountain Time.
Oh, so Mountain, okay.
It's actually 4:15 Eastern Time.
Okay.
But basically, low competition. And we all know there's filtering going on, but there's just, how many companies in the U.S., for example, are publishing at that time? Very, very, very few. So less is going to get filtered out. I do have an international audience that's going to be awake during that time, even maybe some people in the U.S. So less likely to be filtered, more likely to actually get some reach in the early going and actually get some momentum going and some engagement, as opposed to, oh, I know all my fans are awake and on Facebook at 9 a.m. Well, yeah, everyone's posting at 9 a.m., so it's going to get filtered out. So basically, I've got this six-hour momentum window where people are engaging with it. If it's good content, now if it's bad content, don't expect to get any boost from this. And then potentially what I've heard from fans like on the East Coast, they'll wake up, they'll check Facebook at 8 a.m. and guess what's at the top of their news feed, because they're getting all that engagement in the middle of the night from people overseas. So that's the first thing. In terms of the percentage of the engagement and clicks and all that stuff that come from my organic posts versus the paid, that's going to differ wildly. Now, that said, the one metric I aim for when I promote it, so getting that $20 total per day, is about 15 cents per website click. Sometimes, so what happens is if I get that standard 15 cents, I'm good. If I get 10 cents or less, That's when I start raising the budget. And I may even expand the net a little bit and target people based on interests or look-like audiences.
So basically, for that $20, you're getting about 133 clicks, if I'm doing my math right.
I'd have to break out my calculator myself, but
I think that's about right. So, have you found whether or not promoted stuff converts better than the non-promoted stuff, as far as your ultimate goal of getting them, for example, on your newsletter list or anything like that?
Well, you know, that's one reason you might use UTM parameters.
Right.
And I've seen in general, I mean, the problem with promoting it, and really both, is that in either case, you're reaching people who are likely, at least because I focus on these people, who are most likely to already be on these lists. So they're already...
Good point.
If I were to compare the results of targeting people who are my fans and my prior website visitors to targeting people who are interest-based or lookalikes who haven't been to my site before, I mean, the people who know me who've been to my site before and my fans are much, much, much more likely to be on my email list and have bought something. That's the first thing. But not a noticeable difference between targeting my fans organically and paid, as long as it's the same content, in terms of the likelihood of a conversion.
Well, and I think the take-home lesson here is that if you've got a really hot piece of content that you know is going to go places, and you want to make sure that you increase the speed at which it goes places, you should at least consider doing a remarketing campaign to those who have visited your blog before, right? And maybe who are not currently fans of your site, so that you can increase the chances that they share it on Facebook, right? Because I don't think Facebook charges you for a share that comes from a paid ad, do they? Or do they?
Right.
Yeah.
No, they do not.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, it's really important that you create content that's interesting, that people don't even realize it's an ad because they want to engage with it. Bottom line is, you'll hear people all the time say, "I never click on ads. I don't know anyone who clicks on ads." Well, if you use Audience Insights, and actually used both my page and Social Media Examiner in a workshop I did recently on Audience Insights to show this. I don't know if you've used Audience Insights before, Mike, but you should check it out. You'll actually see how many times your average fan has clicked on an ad during the last 30 days. And for you, Social Media Examiner, I believe it's like 19 times during the last 30 days, the average fan has clicked on an ad.
Wow.
And for me, it's something similar. So, but the key there is making sure that if you create an ad, that it's going to the right people. So it's the right people, the right message at the right time, right? So it doesn't stick out as an ad, and you're likely to get similar types of engagement, whether it's an ad or organic.
Okay, last question. Facebook announced that they're clamping down on organic promotional posts. And by the time this show comes out in January, we're recording this in late December, that will have been implemented. And one of the big questions that a lot of people have in their mind is, what technically is promotional?
Yeah.
What's your thoughts? Because technically anything we put that links back to our blog could be arguably promotional, right? So do you have any insight from your take, and how should marketers respond to this announcement that is imminent?
Yeah, first of all, I'll agree to a point that it's not clear. Like, you read through the announcement and you're kind of left scratching your head a little bit. That said, let's not stretch that out too far and say anything can be promotional, because that's not what they're saying. There are three main things, two of which are kind of a little unclear. The first, posts that solely push people to buy a product or install an app. I think that's very clear what that means. So if you share something where it's not even, and this is the way I interpret it at least, it's not even so much about where the link goes. It's about your language, that you're very promotional. Hey, go buy now. Time's running out. Discount, all this stuff. That's promotional. Okay? So you could even, in my opinion, this is, again, just a guess. We have to wait and see how this is all implemented before we all freak out, see how it's implemented. But in my opinion, you could share a link to a product and just have very different language about it. Where it's like, man, this is so much fun putting this together. You know, I can't wait for you to check it out, kind of thing.
Hey, John, let me pause you there for a second, because we did we had a sale that was ending, and we posted it on a Friday morning, and we said in there, save $100, sales ending today. Mm-hmm. And 8 hours later, that had only been seen by 1,000 fans. And we've got well over 300,000 fans. Mm. So they already started implementing this in December because it was blatantly obvious that there was nothing different about what we've been doing for weeks, you know? Yeah. So that stuff is no longer going to work. So that's, you know, so what are the other ones that you think, you know, are a little less obvious? You said there was three.
Yeah, and that one I think is what's going to apply to most of these cases. The other two are really kind of unclear to me. The next one is posts. This is going to start out clear, and then you're going to be like, what was that? Posts that push people to enter promotions and sweepstakes with no real context. So the beginning of that, like, oh, I can't promote, I can't talk about a promotion or a sweepstakes, and they say with no real context. I don't really know what that means. Hmm. So basically,
well, like, click here to win an iPhone, and they don't even say, like, I guess.
I don't know. Huh. So basically, it's not clear whether just sharing, you know, talking about your own contests and promotions is an issue. The third is posts that reuse the exact same content from ads. So again, I don't think this is about, I mean, this would be stupid on Facebook's part if they're like, so you've shared, kind of like what I do, you share a post and then you promote it. Well, then you've got both of them are exactly the same. I think
if you share the same post later, that would that be used against you? I mean, that's the question, right?
I think that's what they're saying. It's like you have an ad that's been, I think that one thing in particular they may be going after here is a little strategy that I know a lot of marketers have used. They'll run a dark post. So it's an unpublished post where it's an ad only. It only exists in an ad. They run it for a while, gets all kinds of engagement over time, and then they publish it.
I see.
So I think it may be going after that. But otherwise, it could be, you know, basically if you just like, oh, you've got these ads running and you then later on create a post on Facebook to your fans that's exactly the same as these ads that have already been running, that's the way I interpret that. Now, bottom line on all this,
you got to use ads, is what you're saying, right?
Well, it's not just that. How much of this was really interesting anyway? And like when you say, because I can just tell you from my own standpoint, when I'm during my promo blitzes, that kind of content sucks, and I don't even feel comfortable doing it. Where it's like I'm selling stuff all the time and I'm sharing it on Facebook, it never gets much engagement. So now it's going to get a little bit less. I needed to lean heavily on two things then anyway, as my email list and Facebook ads. So this doesn't really, to me, it's not that big of a deal because I don't know. At least,
but for the local pizzeria who says, here's a coupon if you come in tonight, I mean, it's going to be an issue. They're probably going to have to pay for that.
But probably, yes. Because basically, we've been getting free advertising, right?
Exactly. Well, John.
Now I do think... And I'm sorry, just one last thing. Yeah. I do think potentially this could hurt some well-meaning pages where their engagement was out of they've got all these discounts and deals all the time. That's the value they provide. It'll be interesting to see how those types of pages are impacted.
Well, I know that a lot of people are like, holy cow, I need to go back to the show notes. There's so much cool stuff that you talked about. John, I know you've got a free ebook and you've also got a membership site. So why don't you mention where people can find out more about that?
Great. So yeah, I've got an ebook on Power Editor. So I strongly advise anyone who's getting into advertising, want to take it to the next level, to use Power Editor. People ask me all the time, why? Well, the ebook will tell you. It's the 9 ways the pros are benefiting from Power Editor and you aren't. If you go to johnlumer.com/9ways, that's the number 9ways-ebook. And also have a private membership. So if you've already taken that next level, and you want to start sharing your own stories and staying on the cutting edge of what's happening with Facebook ads, I've got includes a weekly webinar, discounts, and this private community. It's called the Power Hitters Club. And just go to johnlumer.com/PHC to learn more about that.
And that's JONLOOMER. John, on behalf of my entire audience, I just want to say thank you so much for sharing all your insight and knowledge with us today about Facebook advertising.
Thanks so much, Mike.
Well, I hope you got a lot out of that interview. If there was anything that we mentioned and you didn't catch it, we take all the notes for you. You can find them at socialmediaexaminer.com/129. That stands for episode 129. Also, if you're new to the podcast and you don't already subscribe, it's free. Just hit that subscribe button on whatever player or app you're using. Also, if you've been a regular listener for a while and you've not already done so, I would covet a rating and or a review. You can do so by visiting socialmediaexaminer.com/iTunes or socialmediaexaminer.com/Stitcher. This brings us to the end of yet another episode of the Social Media Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Stelzner. I'll be back with you in the driver's seat next week. I hope you make the absolute best out of your day, and may social media continue to change your world.
The Social Media Marketing Podcast is a production of Social Media Examiner.
Hey, just a quick reminder, join the Social Media Marketing Society today and level up your marketing for your company or your clients. Visit smmarketingsociety.com to find out more.